Well, U2 is, I think, playing at Soldier Field right now, but U2's time has come and gone, and now it is time for White Mystery. It is a real treat for me to have Alex and Francis Scott Key White in here. Is that your real name, Francis?
Yes, sir.
It is?
Yep.
Your parents named you Francis Scott Key White.
Yes, my father's name is Francis Lee White, and my grandfather's name is Francis White, and my great-grandfather's name is Francis Scott Key White.
We don't have to go back any further. We don't have to go back
only
any further.
Only four.
These two young musicians I first met at a, kind of must be 3 years ago or so, at a Chicago Live performance, that crazy eclectic show we used to do at the Chicago Theater and then at the Up Comedy Club. And I was really taken with them, not just because of their red hair, not just because they were brother and sister, but they were rock and rollers of the sort that I grew up with. I mean, you guys reminded me, I know you're just a twosome, but you reminded me like of The Who. And you were also extraordinarily nice, articulate. And I'm going to call you kids, and I can do that because I'm old, okay? Do you mind if I keep referring to you as kids? Okay, young people, how, because you got the whole hour, we're going to play some music here. Why do you, I interviewed a band called Molehill recently in the paper, and I asked them a question I hadn't asked anybody in a long time. I've asked writers why they write, but I haven't asked musicians, and I asked them and got some very interesting answers. And it's a stupid question, but it's a logical question. Why do you make music, Alex?
The reason why I play music is because I am innately compelled to do so, and have been actually since I heard The Who for the first time.
Is that right?
So I was in fourth grade. I was about 11 years old.
In Chicago. You
in
guys
Chicago.
Grew up in Chicago.
We're from West Ridge / West Rogers Park, yeah. Up on the north side. Chicago Public School System graduates all the way through. And, you know, it's the time in the 90s when everyone's rebuying their vinyl collections on compact disc.
Yeah.
So my
yeah.
parents are repurchasing, you know, the Stones, the Beatles, all of these, you know, awesome artists on CD. So I hear Baba O'Reilly. You know, Teenage Wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in the living room of our two flat and having my little skirt out and just twirling and just feeling so just overwhelmed by how great it sounded and started playing guitar.
Hit you on a, I'm not trying to make too much of it, but it hit you obviously on a very visceral level, right?
Yeah, it was the eureka moment. It was the lightning bolt. And I started playing in bands. Learned electric guitar, go, go, go. It wasn't to become a rock star
one day. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
because it feels so good to play music. And being able to play with my brother Francis and now tour the world professionally is just incredible. And it's an adventure.
I'm sure every gig is an adventure of a different sort. And you two play a lot. Francis, what was it for you? You two didn't start playing together until about 10 years ago. But for you, why do you play music? Yeah, I know. It's a crazy, idiotic question, but
I guess I sort of have to. I don't have a choice anymore.
Yeah. Did you at one point have a choice? Were you dancing around the house listening to The Who when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was always a music fan. I always loved music. I guess there's not much else I could have done as well.
That's the way I feel about writing, too. What your parents must... What's the age difference between you two?
We're 2 years apart.
That's close. That's very close. Tell me more about your parents. I know your mom's a photographer, right?
Yeah. She would have liked to have been here tonight, actually.
She should have come.
Yeah.
What's she doing? Is she at the U2 concert? Tell me no.
She is not.
Okay.
But she is a rock and roller, but more of the kind of Zeppelin, Stones... You know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, kind of, she loved the Dead.
Yeah.
She was pregnant with Francis when she was supposed to see Stevie Ray Vaughan at Alpine Valley, and that's, and, you know, and we
tragedy,
all know what happened there.
Tragedy struck, yeah.
So our mom, Diane Alexander White, is an awesome photographer, also lifelong Chicagoan.
Yeah.
South Shore, and went on to be a photographer at the Field Museum. For 25 years. But way before that, she was at UIC, and she was capturing Maxwell Street, Disco Demolition is really her, you know, the thing that she's very much associated with, because she got the pictures of all the fans.
Where
the Tribune photographers, they're on the field. They're checking out what's happening from the field and the dugout.
They were all scared too.
In 1979. But here's our mom, who was a spectator.
Yep.
So she's getting the faces, the real faces of these people wearing Judas Priest t-shirts and carrying these records, the debauchery, right? But she was also a natural history photographer after that.
Yeah. What'd your dad do?
He's an attorney. Yeah. Frank White. The other Francis White.
The other one.
Yeah.
The other one.
And he's very smart, and he's...
So you were products kind of a rock and roll house. I mean, this was the music, the soundtrack of your parents' life, right? How did... When you started playing, Francis, what did... You started playing the drums? That's what my brother did, and it drove my parents crazy.
Yes, my parents helped me purchase my first drum set.
Reluctantly or with...
No, they were very encouraging. Alex was already playing guitar. She went to Old Town School of Folk Music for a couple lessons when she first got started. She got a cute Dan Electro. And a couple years later, I followed suit and got a drum set. And we actually did start playing together off the bat, not in bands or formal projects immediately, but I learned how to play my instrument by jamming with Alex and... Learned about songwriting and structure.
Did you have no formal training on the drums then?
I took drum lessons for about a year from a teacher, Mike August, but I got as far as a single stroke roll and a 4/4 beat, and I sort of went from there, and that's about it. I didn't stick to my rudiments or
anything
like that.
When does it even occur to you, given the intense joy you both obviously get and did get from music, when does it occur to you that maybe this is something, because this is a huge leap for any musician, that you might be able to do this for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, it was a specific sort of combination of ingredients that happened in a short period of time that allowed this to happen professionally. So, you know, after the whole teenagehood, and I went to DePaul University, had this record label going.
You studied business.
I studied business, yeah. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You know, so I had started a record label when I was 17. So went to school for business, used that as my model throughout my academic career, and was able to really have fun with that, and played in bands. So instead of walking across the stage on my college graduation day, I was in Europe, you know, touring with my band at the time, which was called Miss Alex White and the Red Orchestra. And after being in all these groups, and with different people, realized that my calling was to play with my brother, right? So it's like, okay, Fran, it's time.
Was there an epiphany? Was it that Francis was saying, hey, come on, why don't we play together? What made that happen?
It was finding a White Mystery Airheads candy wrapper on the
ground. Is that really true?
It's true. Where it's like, you know, it's a silver wrapper. It was kind of reflective, and of course I've seen them before because it's the candy that gets sold at record stores,
right,
a common kind. But I looked down, I was like, oh, man, Fran, you know, and called up Fran, and I literally called you. And it was like, it's time. It's
Fran,
time to start this band.
Now?
Probably playing video games at the time.
With any intention? I mean, did you want – I mean, obviously you wanted to play – ladies and gentlemen, if you ever see these two together and you can get their schedule, we'll talk about it. Because they're here for the whole hour at whitemysteryband.com. They play a lot and all over the place. And catch them when they're in the United States, will you please? Was it ever your ambition, Francis, to play with your sister professionally?
Yes, absolutely. It was a dream of mine for years, and I was waiting patiently. There was an opportunity, the aforementioned European tour, I might have been able to hop on it because her drummer in that band had pancreatitis and would have had to miss a week or two of the tour, but I couldn't get my passport in time. But there was a glimmer for a second, maybe as a teenager I might be able to do something. But, yeah, it didn't come until I turned 21. At that point, I guess I was a bit more mature and ready and physically capable of...
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Columbia College, Chicago.
What'd you study?
Video game design.
Yeah. Sorry?
Video game design.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really interesting. These are two fascinating people, Alex and Francis White of the band White Mystery. You're going to hear some music. We're going to talk some more about the creative process. They're a brother and sister band of Greek heritage, it turns out. Welcome back. I am here for this entire hour with White Mystery. I have now become such good friends with Francis Scott Keywhite that I can call him Fran. And Alex, I'll just call you Alex. They are a brother and sister team that writes their own stuff that is very business savvy, in part because Alex got a degree in business from DePaul University. I think right now is a perfect time, if it's okay with you two, to hear them. These two are rock and rollers, and the reason I fell for them immediately on stage at, I think we were playing at the Chicago Theater at a Chicago Live segment, as we talked backstage for a while, and I liked them, and then I heard them play, and I thought, oh my God, this is the kind of rock and roll I grew up with. So here they are. I don't know what album this is on, or CD, or whatever it is. This is Bad Neptune. That's White Mystery, ladies and gentlemen. Fran Scott Keywhite and Alex White, brother and sister team that is the band. They both sing. She plays guitar. He plays drums. Do you collaborate on songs? How is that? What is that process like, you two?
Well, so the songwriting
And what is this song? Where's this song from?
Right, so this song that you just heard, Radio
Bad
Land,
Neptune.
Bad Neptune, is off the new White Mystery album. It's our 8th annual release. We put a new album out every year on April 20th, like clockwork, since we started.
Anything specific about that date?
It's our band anniversary, so when we found that little silver wrapper.
Yeah.
You know, back in the MySpace days, right, Fran?
MySpace.
You know, they actually said, you know, when you created your little band profile, it said, you know, this is your founding date.
Founding date, sure.
And it's a loaded date for a lot of different reasons, the April 20th date.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so we've been very consistent. And over that period of time, the way that we write songs has transformed quite a bit.
Give me an example.
So in the first,
when you first, and Fran, when you first joined, when White Mystery was formed and you finally got the chance to play with your sis, was there a hierarchy there? Was it like, hey, you're 2 years younger and I'm smarter and I'm a grown up and I'm your sister and my red hair is a little curlier than yours, so I'm going to be the lead songwriter. What was it like at first? Or was it just...
That very much happened. My sister sat me down for a lunch meeting at the job we worked together, Busy Beaver, and she was like, all right, I've been in a bunch of other bands, and I'm way smarter than you, so I'm going to cut you out of the production company I'm starting. And I burst into tears and felt really bad, and then she changed her mind.
And now what?
And now we own it together.
It's a 50-50 partnership.
Is it a 50-50 writing partnership?
Isn't it a woman-owned business now?
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
It's...
Yeah, it can be when you need it to be. Yeah, I get it. But any artistic collaborative endeavor has ever intrigued me. Lennon-McCartney intrigues me, of course. Mm-hmm. How does it work for the two of you?
Well, it started in the early days where I would say, here's a song, here's the power chords, let's jam it out in the basement, here's some sort of idea of a chorus that I think would be cool, and we'll just kind of fill in the rest. Now, in this period of time, we've written 100 songs.
Wow.
1 year, we kind of surprised all of our fans by putting out a feature-length film.
I know.
Called
I
That
know.
Was Awesome.
I know.
And created the soundtrack for that. And that was really a big breakthrough for us creatively on how we collaborate, where we really started leveraging our strengths. So I'm great at organizing, and Francis is an exceptional writer. He's an amazing writer. So a lot of my songs are just so basic, kind of silly sometimes. And Francis's songs are poetry. They flow.
But almost too much. We meet in the middle a bit. It's really nice how straightforward Alex's approach is to music, whereas mine might be a bit too garbled. Sometimes I might be trying to fit too many emotions or ideas into my lyrics, and Alex can streamline it effectively, so it's a nice middle ground.
What inspires your lyrics? Is it day-to-day life? Is it observation? Is it reading? Is it... other music? Is it all of those things?
Mostly excruciating nerve pain. I deal with a medical condition. I have a tumor on my nerve, my sciatic nerve. It's inoperable and growing. And I try not to use that entirely as my inspiration, but I get a lot of dark, subversive, lyrical content out of being in excruciating pain all day, yes.
What do you take for your pain?
I have my Illinois medical marijuana card.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? That's very smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart.
He's been through a lot.
How old are you two?
I'm 32.
So you're 30.
I'm about to be 30 in August, yeah.
And you have been out and about a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, what the nature of your... I know you're extraordinarily popular here, and you have a big, sort of big fan base here. Don DeGrazia among your biggest fans, and Dave Hoekstra among your biggest fans. Is it tough to leave, you're going to be on? You guys are going to be on for the whole hour. We can get into a lot of this stuff later. What do your parents? What do your folks think of White Mystery?
I mean, I know that our parents are definitely our biggest fans.
How often do they come see you perform?
In the early days, they had to come every time because we were underage.
Yeah.
So they were, driving the Dodge Caravan when I was definitely, 15 and didn't even have a license. But our mom has been very helpful. It's not really like the kind of thing where it's like a Lindsay Lohan or a Hanson thing where your parents are your manager. They're more just kind of encouraging for us and supportive.
Yeah, you don't come off like Lindsay Lohan.
kid. But we're lucky because I think that having that sort of support that when you're all the way over in Japan or you're in, driving through the Swiss Alps and experiencing tornadoes in Mississippi and all this wild stuff that happens out on the road on these adventures, it's like you have a support system to come home to.
Well, and the other aspect of it, too, though your mom as a photographer did have a straight job, it's amazing, I think, for parents to And it's not allowing, but to kind of sign off on a artistic life, because your mom knows photography, and someone like that would know the price that is often paid for a full-time commitment to the arts, don't you both think?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because of the time that we grew up, you know, so like this moment in time, this capsule, this, you know, these couple decades that we've been experiencing with technology allowing us to do what we do, you know, what has happened with kind of like the dot-com bubble and then the dot-com bust and, you know, all of the recession and both of our parents also becoming self-employed.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. But that giving us, you know, like a permission by observation, permission by example. So it's like, you know what, it might be challenging, but it's nothing that anyone hasn't been able to conquer before.
I also think your mom and even your dad, I mean, there's some creativity in being a lawyer. But I think your mom understands the rewards of a creative lifestyle. You guys, you're going to hear more songs. You're going to hear Can't Stand It. You're going to hear Full of Light. And if we get a chance, you're going to hear Blackheart Crusader, ooh, too, from White Mystery. I can call him Fran now, but I really like his full name, Francis Scott Key White and Alex White. She's 2 years older. They both have red hair, and they're both Greek. This is Chicago's very own, and they have a brother. We haven't even talked about your brother. Rick Kogan in here on the After Hours show with the brother and sister team of Francis. I love the name. Francis Scott Key White and his elder sister, Alex. They're both still really kids. Their band is White Mystery. You can get all sorts of information at whitemysteryband.com. One of the reasons that this website is so good, I think, is because Alex has a degree in business from DePaul, right? Fran and I didn't think much of college, so we're just trying to get by on what we got. The music business, when you guys, in your time in it, has so radically changed from the days when I was seeing The Who and even when you were falling in love with The Who. It is a terribly wicked business now, especially the recording aspect of it. You know, years ago when Sergeant Pepper, 50 years ago yesterday or whatever it was, when Sergeant Pepper was created, it was created because there was a narrative to the album. And the Beatles decided that, well, we'd like you to hear this song and then this song and then this song and then this song and then this song, and that's the whole album. That's so vastly different now. How do you adjust to that world? You just write the best songs you can and let people digest them in whatever fashion they want to?
No, I think we force it down people's throats a bit more than that.
Yeah, I think you do too, and I'm intrigued, but I think you do too.
It's we believe in bold movements and believing in what you do and stand for and say, and not mincing your words or beating bushes or anything like that, and just going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the advantages of being a completely independent band is that you can do whatever pleases you.
You can be independent.
Yeah. So
let's listen to another tune. Talk to me for a second before we play it about Can't Stand It.
Can't Stand It is one of my favorite songs off of the new album, which will abbreviate to FYMS.
Yes, you have to abbreviate it.
Yeah.
You can figure out why by going to whitemysteryband.com.
Right. But we recorded this new album here in Chicago. We recorded our albums all around the country. This one was up on Irving and Lincoln, basically, with Mr. Steve Gillis at Transient Sound. And you can really hear that we've matured with our recording process with this particular song, Can't Stand It.
Have a listen, ladies and gentlemen.
I just can't stand it. Holding on tight.
off the latest album, which we can't say on the air here, but you can certainly find out what it's called at whitemysteryband.com. That's another great song. That is another great song from Fran and Alex White of White Mystery. You do extensive, when you go on your website and see, well, first, tell people where you're going to play in the next few weeks here. You're in Chicago.
Yeah. So coming up Saturday, June 10th, which is next weekend, in Logan Square, Hipsterville.
Yes.
Milwaukee and Medill. There's a bar called the East Room, and behind that club, there's a little street called Medill. And for the third year in a row, we're organizing...
Named after the founder of the Tribune.
Really?
Joseph Medill, yeah.
Fun fact.
Small world. Small world.
We're hosting the third annual Rock and Roll Market, which is an outdoor free event that we organize with Do 312.
Mm-hmm.
60 vendors. Cool music gear, vinyl, vintage clothes. What we sound like is the sort of stuff that you can get there.
Yeah.
Food trucks, rock and roll DJs, five bands, Yoko and the Onos, Flesh Panthers, The Evictions, and Easy Habits, and White Mystery. So it's free. That's happening June 10th, which is Saturday, between noon and 7 p.m. So it's a daytime affair.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
And where you've played the Hideout. You've played everywhere in Chicago, right? Double Door, all these joints. How do you're obviously the booker, too, for this. How hard is that to sort of constantly be calling? Are you constantly calling clubs? And I'm simply talking here now, not
in Chicago.
Not your international work. I don't even have any idea how it happens. How does it happen here for you?
Well, in Chicago.
Obviously, you're known.
Right.
And you can draw a crowd because you have a lot of fans here.
Absolutely. So White Mystery's played Millennium Park, Taste of Chicago, Riot Fest many years. And the way it just happens, it's like a give and take between people emailing you and asking you whether you'd like to play.
Gotcha.
And in other cases, you know, that looks like something cool we'd like to do and finding the path to accomplishing it.
You've done a lot of international touring, a lot of national touring and international. Forgive my naivete, but how does that happen? I mean, how do you guys get booked in Japan, for instance?
Well, the way that happened, and, you know, White Mystery's played almost 1,000 shows now.
I know.
Yeah, we still haven't played Lala or Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Or the Aragon or the Riff.
Yeah, so those are still to be.
Despite our best efforts.
Yeah, we've contacted.
What do you think that is?
You know, why would.
Because you guys, I
they're all a bunch of Satanists.
Good answer. Good
you know, answer. Why would a four-day festival like Lollapalooza that books, I think, something like 400 bands?
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper's headlining. He's from Chicago.
Right.
There are some Chicago acts on it, but really it's you know, we've contacted them many years in a row. And
that's a shame.
We've played big festivals worldwide, and yet Lollapalooza won't book us here in Chicago. And why they won't remains to be... answer.
Well, you guys know in the same way, and ask your mom. I mean, there's politics involved in galleries. There's politics involved. You would like to think that politics does not get involved in any art form.
It's because we blow all those bands off the stage.
That's right.
Big time.
And they don't want you there.
Yeah. But at the same time.
The Killers are saying, no, we can't have a White Mystery.
And,
there.
Dude, what happens behind the curtain is.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You know, that's a book.
I can only imagine.
That's a book.
I've got these lovely people, Fran and Alex White of White Mystery. Go to whitemysteryband.com and you'll get all sorts of information about them, where they're playing. You can buy stuff. And you'll hear one more song and we'll talk for a few more minutes with these smart, nice people. I wanted a couple more questions. I want to know about the... You guys work so hard, and I want to know, after this little break, what kind of lives can you have? I know you're 30 and 32, and that you're young, and you should be doing this now because you can't be doing it. Well, look, Paul McCartney still does it. The Stones still do it. The Who still does it. You can't be doing this when you're my age. But I want to know what that kind of life on the road is like for you two. We'll be right back. I have a few more minutes with White Mystery, otherwise known as Francis Scott Key White, and his big sister, Alex White. Go to whitemysteryband.com. You guys are smart and you are really talented. You are on the road all the time. What kind of quality of life sacrifices do you have to make to do that? I'm sure it is a ball because every city's new, every crowd is new. You're still at the age where I'm sure it is a ball and you're meeting new people and the traveling is exciting. Does it ever get you down?
It's exhausting to be in danger constantly.
Danger
when you're looking out, the elements, people, cars, deer.
Life
in general, your own body.
Yeah. Stage collapsing, whatever. Yeah. Fire at the venue, which happened once.
Rock and roll does not take place in a safe work environment. Despite the venue's best efforts, some do better jobs than others. Some DIY venues that we play are safer than other ones and yada yada. But it's exhausting just being on guard and trying to maintain your adrenaline and concentration and stamina over the course of months just traveling across the city.
Yeah, that's well put, friend. I'm sure it is. When you come back to Chicago, you guys don't seem to kind of unwind and you don't have the kind of Led Zeppelin money to go take a month-long vacation on some Caribbean island.
Ooh,
I do. Alex doesn't.
You're Alex stealing comes from back the company.
Alex comes back and starts doing 150 emails a day, and I just try to relax while I'm home.
Yeah. I'm a work hard, play hard person, for sure.
Yeah.
So we get home from tour and I have to just run and lift weights and compulsively clean my house.
Do you two live together in Chicago?
Yes, we do. It's
What's
great.
That like? You're one day going to maybe fall in love with other people who aren't members of the family and have lives. Does that ever trouble you about, I'm sure you've had boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, or maybe not.
Well, here's an important.
That's also hard to do with the kind of lifestyle you guys have.
Here's a very important piece of minutia about White Mystery, which is when we started and we found that silver wrapper on April 20th, 2008, we started this band. We said, okay, we're going to do this right. We've learned from, you know, rock and roll history, my previous acts. This is what we have to do. We're going to stay independent. And that means independent records, spirit, but also independent, so not really being in relationships.
Yeah.
So when we're overseas, you're not clouded by what might be happening at home. And technically, our 10-year pact for that
is up next year.
It's up next year. So there was other things.
You guys can't even, like, have a dog.
We have a dog.
You do have a dog?
But it's our parents' dog.
Oh, okay.
Devo, the dog, but he's not a whippet.
So what next year when that deadline comes, what do? You could commit, I suppose, for let's do this for 5 more years, let's do this for 10 more years, and you obviously have ambitions, and you obviously are terribly. It can't just be, hey, I want to be in Pitchfork or Lollapalooza. It's got to be bigger than that. You made a movie.
Yep. We've put out guitar pedals, you know, really fun merchandising where it's enjoyable and pleasurable to develop all of these cool things. So next year when this opens up, you know, we'll be White Mystery forever. We agreed upon that, you know, friend, right? It's just that it might take on a new form.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Film intriguing
TBD,
to you?
TBD, right? So to be determined on what that will look like. And I think that we're even curious about what it'll look like.
Sure.
The thing that's fun,
well, 10
though,
years, the other thing, you two, is 10 years is a long time to be together. It is I'm not saying that disparagingly, it's a durable time that says a great deal, I think, about the kind of people you are to be able to do that creatively. And these, you know, the songs we're playing are your latest creations. That shows tremendous growth, I think.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys lived up to everything I knew and thought you'd be. I've seen you perform a few times and enjoyed it every time and enjoyed all the times we've talked. What do you want to hear is you can get to walk out the door and you can go home and go to sleep or whatever you do at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. You want to hear Blackheart Crusader?
Yeah, we could do that. What are other options?
Full of Light.
Oh, Full of Light. Let's play that again.
Okay.
Is that okay? Or did you want to hear Blackheart Crusader, Fran?
Blackheart Crusader?
I think Full of Light is just like a real crowd pleaser, so we'll see what Radioland says.
You audience would like to be pleased now. We'll play Full of Light, and we will let these nice two young people go home.
Thank you, Rick. You're awesome.
Thanks so much, Rick.
This
was
a great time.
It was fascinating to me, you guys, and I really wish you success, and I can't wait to talk next year and see where you're going. That was another tune from the latest album by White Mystery. This was an interesting show for me, ladies and gentlemen, to talk for an hour with a talented woman, Mary Fonz, about her life and career as a slam poet, as an actress in Chicago, and also as a quilter. She goes around the country. For those of you who... didn't hear that, Lise Graham will post that interview. It was really, really interesting. And then these two nice young people, Francis Scott Key White and his older sister Alex of the band White Mystery. I met them, as I said, at a Chicago Live performance three or four years ago, and they were in their mid-20s and just were very, very taken with their... not just with their music, but with their personalities. And I'm ever, ever intrigued by what drives creative people. They don't all share anything genetic, but they certainly share a passion, not just to perform, but to create. So hope you enjoyed it. You also heard Corky Siegel and his Chamber Blues. As always, Aubrey Mumpower makes this engine run smoothly. And the great Lise Graham, who now has 80 podcasts at Lise FM. One of these weeks we'll get more into her. She's come on very strong. She will one day run this entire station. And